Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Everybody, this is Rob Halford, the Metal God from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Rock over London,
Zurich,
Auckland,
Dublin,
Dallas,
Milwaukee,
Los Angeles,
Sydney,
Indianapolis,
Tokyo,
Seattle,
Paris,
Budapest,
Berlin,
New York. Ladies and gentlemen, two men who are committed to rocking you wherever you might be, John Astronomy and Mark Striegel. Welcome to the Talking Metal Podcast, broadcasting around the world from TalkingMetal.com and Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Hey, welcome to another very special edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. Mark and I have been invited out to the home base of Metal Mike Klaschek. How you doing, Metal Mike?
What's up, my metal brothers from different mothers?
That's right.
Thanks for visiting my heavy metal underground lair.
So I ran into Mike not far from here last night at the Autumn Hour show. Autumn Hour is a band with Alan Tecchio, who was a part of Screaming Metal. What do you think of the show last night, Metal Mike?
I thought it was really good. Their bass player, Clint Arendt, he did some shows with my band Pain Museum as a bass player. Right. And I had Clint come over, and he was like, "Hey, I wanna play you some of this Autumn Hour stuff." And I didn't know what to expect. I like Alan's vocals a lot, so I knew that at least I would like that. And when Clint played me the stuff, I really liked it. You know, I thought it was great because it was kind of hard to categorize with the album set, and I really liked it. It was kind of like just like great, kind of progressively type rock metal music.
Yeah, I think there is a progressive edge to it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I love records that are kind of like Cheerios. There's no frosted Cheerios. I just like Cheerios. This is what the record is. You know, nothing
the
else.
Meat and potatoes of
that's
a
it.
Metal album.
I love records like that. But at the same time, if I'm not in that mode, then I love stuff that's just really hard to categorize.
Absolutely. Well, Metal Mike, speaking of dingbats, we want to thank you for jamming Seek and Destroy with Screaming Metal and with Rob Dukes.
Yeah, that's
Wasn't
right.
That cool? Thank
yeah,
you, man.
I thought it was great.
And we said this on the podcast before. When you came out, the first thing you did, man, you took command of that stage. You came out, you had the Jackson V, you were freaking shredding right off the bat, and it was killer, man.
Thank you guys for inviting me out for it. I thought it was fun.
Oh, it was
you
a blast.
Know, I've only played one time on Dig Bats, and I think that was in 2006. So it was just, you know, a lot of fun, you know. It was a good vibe. A lot of people there to see Screaming Metal. So
yeah.
I loved it, man. It was great. I heard you guys had like people come down from all over United States, right?
Yeah, we had people fly in from California. There was people driving down from Massachusetts, yeah. Long Island, Washington D.C. The Talking Metal fans really came out that night, and also the Hades fans, of course, Dan Lorenzo and Alan Tecchio,
yeah,
of Hades fame. So that was a great night, but without question, I think the the climax of the night, if you will, was when Metal Mike took the stage along with Rob Dukes to do Seek and Destroy, the Metallica classic.
Yeah, it was a good vibe. I loved it. It was kind of like intense in its own little way, you know?
And when Mark said climax, there might have been a few women who had a climax at that point.
I never heard anything about it.
Anyway, I got to talk about the, quote, man cave that we are now in. This is an insane place. Metal Mike is a great place. And right now, I just got to describe it. I'm sitting next to four slant cabinets, three Marshalls and a Mesa. Heads, I was going to say out the ass. Can we say that on Talking Metal? Yes. It's just an insane display of rock gear. And this is where you do your recording. Tell us about it.
Unofficially, this is the House of Metal Studios. You know, I had a banner that I had, but I just ran out of space for hanging up stuff. And so this is where I kind of record everything, you know. Just whatever needs to be done, whether it's solos or guest appearances or records. I have enough gear and enough space and hopefully enough know-how that I can make a record. And that's been my goal for a long time, because I think every musician really loves to have their own, kind of be self able to do stuff, you know. So that was my dream for a long time.
And this is the same gear that you recorded the infamous, amazing Talking Metal theme with Rob Halford.
That's right. That's right.
Cool. And I see Pro Tools up on your computer over there.
Yeah.
You told me last night that you are working on some solo material.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. What can the Talking Metal listeners expect from Metal Mike? This is not Pain Museum. This is a total solo record.
Yeah, completely. Well, I almost said completely left turn, but it's not really quite true. It's not a Pain Museum record, and it's a... I would really like to think of this album that I'm working on right now as the first proper official Metal Mike release. You know? I kind of felt like everything I have done upon this point was, you know, hopefully I've done some good stuff, but it was almost kind of like sharpening the skills and getting experience and doing all that. And I'm really thought about what I learned, and I'm bringing this all into this new album. So the record's gonna come out under Metal Mike, and the title, the working title for the record now, it's gonna be called File Under Metal.
Oh, cool!
In case your local record store doesn't know where to put the album, it's just gonna be the record, the name of the record, and it's gonna be just the most driving, intense A to Z heavy metal record.
Hopefully instrumental? Are you gonna have singing on it?
You know, I'm most likely it's going to be a guitar based record. So I guess the word instrumental will be the answer for it, but it's not going to be a look at me, I could play arpeggios record. It's not going to be chord changes so I could play different chord inversions and arpeggios over. It's going to be more of a release of music and energy from A to Z than to show kind of I can play type of record.
Right.
But it's going to be the most important thing for this album for me is going to be to make one of the most metal statements of this year.
And I think if there's anybody that can make a metal statement, it is definitely Metal Mike. And Metal Mike, you've added so much credibility to Talking Metal because you're part of the Talking Metal family. You've appeared with us on our TV shows, and we once again thank you for that, because you will always, forever be part of the family. You might say,
well,
I don't want to be part
now,
of that family.
You might never get rid of me now.
No, believe me, we don't want to get rid of you, Metal Mike. You're the coolest. To Metal Mike, let's do a Talking Metal toast.
Yep. Let's talk about the tequila shots I prepared.
We also got to talk about some of this new Halford stuff that has arrived in my mailbox. Well, tequila first. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to drink, for all you metal men and women out there listening to metal on a daily basis. I don't speak Spanish too well. We're going to drink the Tequila Cazadores Reposado, which has got a big deer's head on it and no worm.
I like the deer's head. I noticed that right away.
Actually, the funny thing is that one of my extended family's family showed up with this big bottle of tequila to my house, and I'm opening it. This is the funniest story of all time.
Are they from Mexico?
Yes, they are. But like the... one of those magnets that you right. take away from the store, the rings was still on the bottle. So I'm going, what is going on with this bottle? So I couldn't open it for the longest time because we got this big Mexican magnet on it. But mind you, when there's liquor in the house, metal mic shell, find a way. And we're drinking it the true heavy metal way. No lemon, just straight up tequila.
You're rocking.
Chased by the beer.
Thank you, Metal Mike.
Right on.
Thank you. In Dixie cups.
And Dixie cups, that please tell the listeners what they have on them.
Dinosaurs, which I guess we saw your son's room earlier when we had the tour of the house. He's into dinosaurs, huh?
Yes, my son Steele is into dinosaurs. And since I don't really do shots by myself, I went to the bathroom and took some dinosaur cups to pour.
This is great. Mine's a pterodactylus. I've never heard of it with the L-U-S on it. This must be the scientific pronunciation.
And I got a Corythosaurus. That looks like a punk dinosaur. And yours, Mark?
I don't know. Triceratops. Yeah, Triceratops, yeah. Well, we better drink these before the tequila eats through them.
Yes, because it looks very strong. Right on. Okay, here we go. Aha! Woo-hoo! Hello!
Hey, I thought that was very smooth, man. This is great. And I'll tell you, tequila, I've been known to freak out a little bit after that. And this was a good one, man. This
it's
really
decent.
Good.
It's all right.
I love this, man. True Mexican tequila.
Uh-huh.
And that is kick-ass, dude. Thank you, man.
Stolen from
a
Mexican supermarket.
Excellent. Hey, so the other day I checked my mailbox, and I had two copies of remastered Rob Halford CDs in the mailbox, which I was totally psyched. And I hadn't opened them yet. And one of the reasons is because I already have these two records. And mm-hmm. Mike just pointed out to me that I really don't, because there are bonus tracks on these CDs, and if you bought, you know, Live Insurrection before, you're going to need to go rebuy it, because Mike just pointed out to me there's a lot of cool stuff that we've never heard, including, now this blows me away, my favorite Scorpion song, Blackout, with the man himself, Rudolph mm-hmm. Schenker. Tell me about getting together with Rudolph. Where was that recorded, and... I can't wait to hear this. Maybe we should play this right now.
Yeah, you guys should crank this up.
Cool. Let's actually take a little sample of this right now on Talking Metal, and then come back and talk some Scorpions on Talking Metal. This is Metal Mike, Rudolph Schenker, Rob Halford, and the Halford Band playing Blackout, the Scorpions classic. A little sound sample on Talking Metal.
But I'm too late to care anyway. I look around, I see this face. What the hell have I lost my taste? Don't want to find out. Just want to cut out. My head explodes, my ears ring. I can't remember just where I've been. But I recall, I got lost in a deep black hole. Don't want to find out. Just want to cut out. Blackout. I really had a blackout. Blackout. I really had a blackout. Blackout. I really had a blackout. I really had a blackout.
That was the Scorpions classic Blackout, played by Halford, Rudolph Schenker, Metal Mike, and the entire Halford Band. You can get this at metalgodshop.com. That was killer, Metal Mike.
Yeah.
Tell us about the recording of that. Was that done all at this particular same gig?
Yeah, oh, totally was. That was one of the funniest and greatest things of all time. This is an amazing story that I have. This is that Rudolph was going to come up and do Breaking the Law and Blackout with us. And then, you know, I would imagine somebody like Rudolf Schenker is a pretty busy guy, right? So I got a call and it says, Metal Mike, Rudolph wants you to write out the tablature to Breaking the Law and fax it to him. Okay? So there I am. And on the bus in Europe, and I'm sitting with a paper, and I'm writing the six lines, the tab lines, and I'm going da da da, oh 2 3, oh 2 3, oh 2 3, oh 1 3, oh 1 3, and I fax it to Rudolph, okay, and I wrote this whole song in tablature because it's not like he could listen to it and play it, but you know he just wants the notes, and he says Rudolph wants to get together with you and play this, so. Well enough, I faxed it to Rudolph. Rudolph's going to show up later and play this song as well as Blackout with us. And during, we're having a rehearsal, and Rudolph shows up to rehearse. But we're not really playing any music yet. Rudolph wants to go through the moves. Right? And this is in Germany. Yeah. Like it's in Bochum or somewhere in Germany. And Rudolph shows up, and he's got this V. And we're not playing anything, and Rudolph's like, and then we're... And then in his German accent is like, and when we Zizu Blackout, yes, I'm going to go, and I'm going to swing my arm, and the drummer's going to hit me. When my arm hits at 12 o'clock, he's going to hit the cymbal. He's going through this choreography, and I'm going, man, we should really play some tunes, man.
Right.
You know? So, well enough, I think we played like Blackout, maybe some songs, and he's like, sounds good. He doesn't really want to play it. It's all done. So, it's me and Rudolph backstage. In this German hall somewhere. And we're both, I'm playing the Jackson Flying V, Rudolph's playing his Rudolph Schenker, white and black.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. V. And he's drinking these big, tall German brews, and he's pounding them. He's like,
wow, that's classic.
And he's like, and I'm kind of like, I'm not really taken back by a lot of, But a lot of rock and roll and metal stars, but Rudolph's got something about him that's like very cool. And he's got these yellow shades, and he's pounding these beers, and he's going through all these motions, and we're playing these notes. So it's time to play this song, and Rudolph, and I'm like, hey, Rudolph, we'll see you on stage. It's gonna be great. And then right before Rudolph goes on. And okay, Breaking the Law's out by that time. It's like, we're not doing it.
Oh, so
it's
you
like
just
too many
Blackout,
songs.
Right?
Let's just do Blackout. We're going to rock. It's going to be great. People are going to love it. So Rudolph's just about to go on stage, and he's going to my guitar tech, and he's kind of like waving his hands in the air, and he's going, I need. And so my guitar tech grabs a bunch of picks. He's like, he forgot the picks. He forgot his guitar pick, so he grabs a whole hand of my picks. He's like, which pick do you want? He was like, no, not a pick, another beer.
Oh, no.
he had to hit another one.
That's
before
classic.
We
That is but, totally classic.
But I tell you, Ruth, and it's just the beautiful power of rock music that Rudolph comes out on stage, and he's got his little top hat and his yellow shades. He comes out, just looks amazing. People just go insane.
Especially there.
Yeah, and that was the first big lesson to me is that, yes, of course, we want to become the greatest musicians, the greatest technique-based guys. We want to play well, you know, especially in heavy metal, which is so based on good musicianship. But Rudolph showed me that it's not about knowing your harmonic minor scale. It's like it's about a bigger picture. It's about the aura and the energy of between the rocker and the audience.
Right.
You know, and when he came out, and I was just like, man, I could be playing diminished arpeggios till I'm blue in the face, but you got to learn some of that.
The showmanship.
And
yeah,
Rudolph just came out. He's like Rob. He came out. He didn't need to play one or sing one note, and people went crazy. And I'm like, that's what you got to convey to the audience.
It's really cool as a fan of the Scorpions and a fan of Judas Priest and Rob Halford to think that, hey, Rob Halford is a fan of the Scorpions, and likewise, Rudolph Schenker is into Rob's music too. It's really cool. Cool thing. So what about the remastered version of Resurrection? Can you tell us anything about that? Any bonus tracks, anything like that?
Well, you know what? Let me see. You know, I think we have, there's a song called Said Wings, And there's a song, Godbringer of Death, Hell's Last Survivor. And now what happened was that Sad Wings and Hell's Last Survivor were bonus tracks for Japan only when Resurrection came out. And they were the most kind of like pink killerish type riffs that right. we had. And Japan loved it, and apparently everybody else did, because we had a lot of posts on the Halford quorum that people really loved these two songs. And so we decided to put them back on the worldwide release. And Godbringer of Death was actually probably a demo recording from the original Resurrection writing sessions.
You know what I thought was cool, and I particularly took note when I was looking at the credits for Hell's Last Survivor, is that this was a collaboration between you and Rob Halford. And mm-hmm. how does that work? How does it work when just you and him are going to write a tune together?
Not uncommon, but one of the ways that we would work is Rob would say to his guitar players, for the next 3 weeks, work on riffs. And then when we get together, everybody plays their riffs to me, and I'll come up, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, let's write a song. And Hell's Last Survivor was one of those beautiful moments that I brought in the song. And Rob says, it's all there. All the bits are there, and I'll just sing on it.
Cool.
So it was great. It was like not a whole lot of I think Roy Z, our producer, which actually turned to be a Halford guitar player, helped shape some of the song with us. The thing is that before I joined Rob, Halford was the first band I've ever been in with a singer. So, you know, as amazing that sounds, Halford was really the first singer I've ever been in the band with, because I was very always based on. My mind was all about the music and playing guitar and writing great songs. So what happened was that Rob would say, Metal Mike, you got to slow down. You got to give me space to sing over. You're playing all these notes and you're getting crazy and you have all these riffs. And, you know, when I was coming to Halford, I was a big fan of Death and Testament and Carcass. And some of that music was a lot more intricate underneath the vocals, because the vocalists are less melodic, you know, so a lot of things could fit. With Rob's, like, you know, you got to remember I sing melodies, so you can't go insane and play crazy trills and riffs and slides and power chords all the time, because you got to give me a room to breathe. So I guess that brings me back to the point that Roy would be like, okay, that's a great riff, Metal Mike. Now let's break it down a little bit so Rob has a space to sing.
Right, right.
So, yeah, we wrote the song. Rob and I wrote the song, but Roy was kind of, they're helping kind of mold the jelly, you know?
One of the things that I think is very important that you recently said today is that heavy metal music is known for great musicianship. And I think that a lot of people, not in metal, because the metal people know that, but a lot of people in general don't realize that. But a lot of heavy metal, you're mentioning arpeggios, minor scales, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of different things, like modes, and there's a lot of classical in heavy metal, and metal is a very complicated style of music, and I think that a lot of times it doesn't get its due.
No, it absolutely, because I think, you know, people think of heavy metal and people think of the obvious, you know, guy sticking the tongue out and doing a bunch of drugs and getting crazy. We're heavy metal guys, you know.
Right.
You know, right. And that's metal, but that's only the caricature of heavy metal. And the truth is that if you want to be good heavy metal musician, you really, really have to put in the time. And you know, a lot of, this is funny, interesting story. A lot of speaker companies, when they produce speakers for home entertainment, they blast rock and classical music because they're so similar in dynamics. You know,
right?
That there's a lot of similarities in it. You know, and a lot of musicians in heavy metal are based on classical music because it's very similar in the hits and the timing, the tempos, and the way that you divide the notes to fit within a beat. So, yeah, you know, you kind of have to get past the sex, drug, and rock and roll, which we haven't got past yet. And talking metal family over
speaking
here.
Of that, yes.
All right, we're working good morning. On working on it.
We love musicianship, but we also love the sex and rock and roll.
That's right.
Yes. You went to Berklee, right?
Yes.
Berklee College of Music, yeah. Where John and I went. I believe you were there.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah, no, we both went there. Yeah.
Recently about
yeah.
you boys.
And we were there, I believe, a few years before you, I think. Yeah. When were you there?
90 to 94.
Okay. Now, did you, speaking of the stereotypical metal...
I was one of them, yes.
Yeah. Did you know a guy, Brendan Smalls? Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay. Because I just read he went to Berklee. He is the television producer who does Metalocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Deathlock,
right on.
Which,
I've been hearing a lot about that, actually.
Great, great show, by the way. I have the first season on DVD box set, and it is... You'll love it. You'll love it. It's so much fun. Mark Hamill from Star Wars.
It's like the funny thing is that what you're saying is that we just did this. I did a recent tour across the United States, and one of the texts was like, "You gotta see Metalocalypse. It's you." He goes,
"Yeah,
it's you, man." Is this one guy who sits there and plays guitar and he looks mean? It's you.
You and gotta see it.
Somebody else the other day says, "You see that Jack Black movie, the Pick of Destiny?" I go, no. He goes, it's you, man. It's this heavy metal. And I'm like, why? I'm like everybody's coming. Like, anything that's like crazy and super metal, they're like, you got to see it. Everybody's telling me I got to see these things. And I'm like, this
I think it's pronounced Metalocalypse.
I'm from Poland. I can't even speak
English. What's funny is that you are now the third person, Mark, me, and now you. None of us can pronounce that. So that's that. It's a great name, great show, but we just can't pronounce it.
Yeah, it's definitely – it's all about this band Deathlock and fun stuff. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to – but it's interesting because the producer – oh, there's Steel.
My little kid Steel walked into the interview. Come on, Steely.
You got a football.
Steely's got a football and he's got a crystal ball with Cars cartoon on it. Come on, say hey.
Steel, how old are you? How old are you? You're 4 years old? Who drives you to school every day?
Dada.
You drive fast or slow?
Fast.
Yeah. We kick butt and all those suckers who try to race us, right?
No.
Who's the fastest?
You.
Are we your crazy guys on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Say peace out, suckers. Say peace out. Say peace out, talking metal suckers.
Okay. Steel is shaking his head no.
All right. Go upstairs, Steely. Bring that your beer.
Anyways, I was going to mention that the guy who produces, I guess, produces the Metalocalypse show went to Berklee, I believe, at the same time you were there. Brendan Smalls.
See, and I don't remember. Maybe he was one of those kind of like incognito metal guys.
You know what is crazy is that I graduated technically in 91, but I left in 90 because I finished early and then I came back for the ceremony. So for probably one semester, we were probably both there, but unfortunately I never ran into you there. Although you never know. Maybe I did. Who knows?
I really you know what? The first half of my first year, like the first 6 months, first 6 months, I was really into playing guitar. And I mean, I was throughout the school, but I didn't really go out and party too much. I was still kind of like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be next Steve I, you know, the Berklee thing. And then later on, I was just like, well, I was really into playing, but at the same time, I went out.
Were you in the dorms?
I was on the Commonwealth Avenue dorms.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because
I
was
in the first year.
Because I was in the Mass Ave dorm when you were there. So my last semester that I was there, when it was probably your first semester, I was at the dorm where they had the cafeteria. So you remember that one, right?
That's what I went for, the cafeteria.
Remember, so we were in the cafeteria together.
I remember I went there and I looked at the hamburger.
It's a grade D meat, right?
Grade D meat. Yeah. And I was just like, that's like horse liver.
Yeah. Yeah. Hockey pucks, those hamburgers. Anyways, wanted to mention that there is some major scandals going on the Talking Metal forums right now.
Uh-oh.
TalkingMetalForums.com. Exciter is in the middle of a big legal battle. If you haven't been to the forums lately, they're closed down. They're completely finished for now. So we are sorry about that. And who knows, maybe one day down the road we'll open up some more Talking Metal forums. And piracy doesn't pay. That's currently what is up at TalkingMetalForums.com. What else? Oh, Fuse is going to be airing 6 of the 7 episodes that Metal Mike and John and myself did for the network, Talking Metal, the TV show, Friday, April 17th, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 3 hours earlier on the West Coast, there will be a Fuse Talking Metal Marathon. Any memories of the show that you care to share with the Talking Metal listeners?
On camera or off camera?
Both.
Well, nah, honestly, I loved it. Like, I'm amazed how many people, like, I'm amazed the power of television and how many people you reach via TV. I guess it's still, TV is still like the number one impression vehicle on people's minds.
It is. Even, you know, with the internet and everything today, TV is still the most
killer. Yeah. You know, I know there was a study one time that there was like a grapefruit in the commercial, and then they had the grapefruit in a museum saying, "This is the grapefruit from that commercial." People will go and see it.
Right.
You know, so we're a bunch of three fruits hanging out on Fuse. You know, but I loved it. I mean, and first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of that. You know,
you bet. I mean,
yeah, it was a very fun time in my life too. You know, because we went out there and we had great shows, and you know, we talked about some great bands, had some great jams, and I think one of my favorite times of all Talking Metal was when we had a chance to jam "Side of Heaven."
Yeah, that was great.
You know,
what else did we jammed also a couple other songs. With
we
you,
did a Misfits song. That
let's play that right now.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, let's check it out. This is Metal Mike, Bud Friendly, Mark, and John doing "Skulls" by the Misfits.
1, 2, 3, 4.
The Misfits classic by Metal Mike, Bud Friendly, Mark, and of course myself on a drum set.
Cool. We also did Cemetery Gates, right, by Pantera. We did that with you, right?
I don't think so.
With Byron?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It never made it to air. But
yeah, you know what? Yes, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And what was cool is we were going to do a different arrangement because we didn't want to try to exactly duplicate Dimebag's solo. We just wanted to pay tribute to Dimebag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we cut out before the solo, I think, or something. I don't remember. But anyways, it never made it to air.
Yeah.
I think Byron wasn't actually happy with it. I don't know if that was the
reason. Well, I think it was just like a... I think we were preparing a lot of songs for this one-time show. And,
right.
You know, we really didn't get a chance to rehearse a whole lot for it. So we're just like, you know, let's just do it. If it's a tribute, let's do a tribute. Bow out and...
Right.
And walk out of instead of...
And speaking of rehearsing, believe it or not, the only song or the only time we ever, quote, rehearsed for one of these Talking Metal jams was the one with you, and that consisted only of Mark and I coming over to your house like the day before and, you know, jamming on South Heaven a couple of
but
times.
But it sounded so great. It People love that song, so it was killer.
Yeah, no. It was killer. Well, again, guys, if you didn't see any of the Fuse shows, Fuse is re-airing 6 of the 7 shows on April 17th. That's a Friday night, prime time, 8 p.m. East Coast time. I guess that would be, what, 5 p.m.?
3 hours before, yeah.
West Coast time. Check it out on Fuse on your cable network. Mike, thank you for having us over.
Oh, thanks for coming
down. I think we're
going
to actually tape another episode while we're here. But let's wrap this one up and feature some music off of the Resurrection remastered album. I remember putting on this album and Resurrection kicking in, going into Made in Hell, Locked and Loaded, and just thinking, this is the greatest metal I've heard in a long, long time. And what was it like to be a part of such a historic record?
Well, it was wonderful experience, you know, but I've really, you know, because I was so close to it and I was part of it, I didn't really understand the importance of that the record will have in the years to come, you know. Like for me, metal never went away because I'm a metalhead. Right. So just because I didn't see it on TV doesn't mean the metal wasn't important anymore. It was always number one. My life still is, and
but it even feels it felt like a lot of the metal bands, like, let's say in the 90s, especially the second half of the 90s, they were readjusting their sound and they were trying to be more Soundgarden, more like Tool. Yeah. You know, both heavy bands, but not really metal bands. And I felt like a lot of metal bands were trying to kind of almost jump on that bandwagon, if you will. Whereas when Resurrection came out, I was like, wow, this is pure metal. This is back to what it's all about.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that in some ways is that intentionally or not, Rob also did records that were not a straight up heavy metal albums.
Sure,
you know, and but I think, you know, I think there were real heavy metal records released in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it takes a figure in heavy metal that's so important, and Rob Halford, arguably the metal god of all time, you know, releasing a straight-up heavy metal record, CMM Entertainment, releasing a heavy metal record, which means so much to everybody worldwide, you know, so...
And you're right, and he had done Fight, which was a little something different, you know, and then, of course, the 2 record was something very different.
Right.
Yeah, it was great to have Rob step back into the role of the metal god.
Reclaiming his crown, really, yes. which is very rightly his to carry. And you know, I think also when we played the Garden with Maiden, that was somebody told me that was a wake up call for heavy metal, you know.
Yes.
And people
say Halford, Queensryche.
You know, if Rob Halford's playing the Garden, it's back. It's back with gloves and fists and all that. So let's crank up a tune from
thanks,
Resurrection.
Thanks
remastered
to Metal Mike for having John and I over to his house. If you don't know Metal Mike, you need to check him out online. He is the guy who was recorded with Rob Halford, Sebastian Bach. You've recorded with Bruce Dickinson, Rudolf Schenker, we're just finding out.
That's right. My own band, Pain Museum.
Pain Museum. You've toured with Testament. Just such a metal history going on here. And thanks for having us over. Where's the best place that the Talking Metal listeners can get in touch with you online?
Oh, it's very easy. It's metalmike.net. I also, if you're into checking out videos, we just started a video channel called youtube.com/CMM Entertainment, which was my company. And crazy enough, in the cyber world, speaking of Halford, we are I'm a twitter.metalmikec, so I do crazy updates every
very
few
cool
hours.
We will be
space
part of your Twitter group, and we of course have twitter.com/talkingmetal that Mark has spearheaded, and I am getting into it now, so it's very cool.
Right.
Metal
on.
Mike, thank you very, very much for inviting us over, for being part of this podcast. You're going to be part of the next podcast as well, and thank you again, dude.
Okay, dude.
You
thanks
are our
very
true
much
brother.
You guys are
Heavy Metal Brothers from Different Mothers, and I love you.
This is the single off the remastered version of Resurrection. It is called Silent Screams. It's a little sound sample for you here. Go buy this. Buy the album, MetalGodShop.com, and I believe it's up on iTunes, too, where you can download it. So use those links in today's show notes. This is Silent Screams by Halford.
Featuring Metal Mike.
Featuring my ass.
Look at me, I'm chasing after dreams left in the storm. What I am is all that really matters now. That lies a God. That lies a God. All the lies a God. The lies a God. Tempting fate and losing friends along the way I love. No regrets, I'm standing with a needle in my heart. Needle in my heart. Needle in my heart. Needle in my heart.
But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.